CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
For over 5 years, with over 200 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection,
the
worldwide leader in talk entertainment. And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
I was dealing with some issues. Not my issues, but someone else's. Where pictures were being taken, videos were being made of AJ Styles getting into an elevator with someone of the opposite sex. Seems to be the new fad if your name is AJ.
Very awkward. I don't know if a scream like that is how I want to start a show, but then again, we are just past Halloween here at the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Dickie Heyman, and around the table tonight, let's see. Let's start with Dude, Where's My Respect, Brian Henniger.
Best in the world, worst on the mic right now because, for whatever reason, allergies decided to kick me in the teeth this morning.
Now, thankfully you're not allergic to wrestling.
I got a fever, and that's the cure.
There you go. And from the soon-to-be Great White North, Trista Timpson.
Hey. I get dust allergies, so I kind of know what you're going through, and it's why I try to avoid cleaning whenever possible.
That's your excuse, huh?
Yeah.
Mine too.
And then our fourth who survived Sandy, fourth.
I just want to say, Brian, I'm glad that I'm not the only one that has immersed himself into something you'll be reviewing later on in the show.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, indeedy.
And we will definitely get to that. But first, I'm going to talk about this past Sunday in the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Everybody, those who had jumped in on the pick'ems, most of those who were here live last week were unable to purchase the pay-per-view. I did. It definitely wasn't a home run of a pay-per-view, but it was quite good. I thought they did a fair job, and for being painted in the corner, Brian, they found a hell of a way to get out. I hadn't thought of that.
They did. And, you know, to all you people out there who are PO'd because it wasn't a clean finish, it was a good finish. I thought it was done very, very well.
In fact, I think you're the one who told me, Brian, that it looked like the second coming of Denny Davis.
Yes, back in 1987 when Danny Davis screwed over the British Bulldogs on a Saturday Night's Main Event to help the Hart Foundation win their first tag team championships.
So from that, now, fourth, Trista, I don't know if either one of you got the pay-per-view.
Nope.
I didn't, but I saw parts of the main event on YouTube.
Okay. When it was made, fourth, in your case, when you were made aware that Brad Maddox was the referee, did you have an inkling that that might have been the finish?
Probably not that finish, but I did have an idea that they were going to be swerving in some respect.
Which, you know, a lot of us were pretty much banking on because a clean finish was not going to be the answer. Although a clean finish with Ryback would make sense, they've pretty much got all their stuff they've already got all their ducks in a row for WrestleMania, so I don't think they really wanted to stir the pot by hotshotting the belt to Ryback and have him hold it till TLC and then Punk get it back so that he can go drop it to Rock. But, you know, it was a solid show. Again, it's not, it wasn't a barn burner. And I was surprised that only one of the two title matches was actually in a cell. It was, I had it in my head that Sheamus Big Show was going to be a cell match as well.
It wasn't?
No.
Huh. I didn't see Raw this week, so I'm like super behind on anything that's happened.
No, that's fine. So, you know, with the dust settled, I'll just do a quick, quick run through. You know, Punk retained thanks to Maddox. Big Show has taken the world heavyweight title off of Sheamus, but it took two knockout punches, and they got the kick out of each other's finisher. So they both came out fairly strong from this. Kingston Miz was quite good, not as good as their main event match, and definitely not as good as the boot to the head match. But still, I can't complain. It was still entertaining. Team Friendship is Magic, of course, over Rhodes Scholars. They'll get there. They're still, you know, we still got a lot of good tag teams to play with. And as the division continues to build,
how weird is it to say that, eh? The tag team division is building.
Yeah, it's
been a long time.
It has, and I'm really, really intrigued with the way things are going at this point. Just the fact that we have Team Friendship, the Rhodes Scholars, the Primetime Players, Los Luchadores, Primo and Epico, Tyson.
But we lost the Jimmy Squad.
Well, Kofi, you know, they're ready to push Kofi up, and I think they're going to have Truth bounce around in the mid card for a little bit. As evidenced by his throwaway match with Justin Gabriel on SmackDown. Del Rio Orton, I kind of shrug because neither one of them really do anything for me. And of course, then there's the Triple Threat. The Triple Threat Divas match, which we, you know, a lot, just almost everybody had picked Eve to retain. So when this was over with, at the bottom of the pile is Ethan at 3.5, only because he flushed the Divas match. Myself, Jim, Typho, Tyler, Delgado, Jason, and Shane are only just above him at 4. Fourth, take a bow. You beat me.
Savor the flavor, because it don't happen often.
And let's see. Brian, you didn't vote on this. Trista, you didn't vote on this. So, and
I forgot.
No, you're fine. I'm going to have to start scrutinizing these spreadsheets for this. This is the second show in 3 months that I get the spreadsheet from Statboy. That Statboy won. You pulling a Maddox on a Statboy? Come on. I'm serious. He picked Punk, he picked Big Show, he picked Kingston. He had Rhodes Scholars to win, which they did win on a DQ. Orton over Del Rio, and he picked Eve. So, you know, he did all right. No wild cards came through. You know, the wild Lesnar, no Ziggler cash in. My epic booking was not addressed. However, it was an idea. It was an idea, according to a bunch of discarded match finishes that were considered for the Hell in a Cell match. And no sign of the 3MB. So, no bonus points for you. So, when we get into Raw, though, unfortunately, a lot of it was dampened. I hate to say it, guys, the whole AJ scandal thing. I really don't care.
Yawn. Over it.
To me, the worst part is that one minor thing that I know there are no real board of directors, but you'd at least think they'd watch the show enough to go, the accuser herself used her connections to benefit two other people. So to me, the very foundation of this angle is just too inherently flawed.
My other concern is just I addressed this last week. You know, you put Vicky Guerrero in a position to replace somebody who was fraternizing. Was nobody watching SmackDown?
Nope.
When
Say Yes to the Dress was on.
So anyway, I'm, you know,
I watched that show one time.
I love it. I watch it every Friday. I don't even care. SmackDown's on.
Oh,
Gotta watch girls try dresses on and complain about how much weight they gained.
Well, as long as you don't watch Honey Boo Boo, we'll be all right.
I do not watch Honey Boo Boo. Trust me.
We're okay.
And the fact that both WWE and TNA are considering getting her on their screens makes me ill.
Yep.
So, to the AJ storyline, I say this.
I think I can sum this up in one word.
Seriously.
Who let the wild pig in here?
Well, it's just, like I said, seriously. I absolutely could not care less. Thankfully, they did give me something to care about, and that was the building of the Survivor Series teams. The fact that Mick Foley is involved, admittedly as a captain and not a participant, which is probably actually Trista's probably it's probably a good thing.
I would think so. I agree. He doesn't belong in a ring anymore.
Mm-mm. And the faces were gonna need somebody on the floor to run interference, since the faces would have to deal with my dear Uncle Paul and Ricardo Rodriguez. You saw how the teams were put together, Brian, right?
Yes, I did, and I thought it was pretty good. I mean, Ryback is going to have to be a huge part because Ryback. I mean, I'm going to say it again, and if the number threes hate it, to hell with you. Ryback is over. The fans want to see him, and I honestly believe that if they put him in the right position, if they make him a part of this team, they'll do a great job. And by the way, I love the introduction where they kind of recreated the reveal of the WWE 13 video game, and they had actually had Pyro for the poster. Of course, me being a worrywart, thinking, you know, should you really have flames that next to something that is obviously highly flammable?
It might have been vinyl, so at worst it would have melted. But what we're probably going to hear more from the number threes as we close in on Survivor Series is they're going to look at these teams and go, none of the belts are getting defended. Wah, 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 wah.
Well, it used to be no one... Well, God, I hate having allergies. Well, it used to be that the belts weren't defended on the Survivor Series anyway. It was all 5-on-5 matches.
Mm-hmm. And the suggestion had been put out there, and this has bounced around on WrestleChat at least once or twice, that they were thinking about doing an all Survivor Series style matches pay-per-view, and that got shot down pretty quick. But the teams, of course, are pretty much this is all feud aligned, which is, you know, par for the course with Punk. Punk, the Rhodes Scholars, Miz and Del Rio versus Ryback, Orton, Kofi, and Team Friendship is Magic. So
Wait a minute. Don't hear grumbling or anguish, so I guess Jim really isn't here.
No, he isn't here this time.
Although in all seriousness, it is good to know that he came through it okay and his family's alright, and God bless them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jim's our buddy, and he's a very good friend of our show. And I want you to know, Jim, if you're listening, I had the whole family praying for you. You and Jason both.
So it's good to know that, as you know, as far as I've heard, all of our Northeast members of the North American Wrestling Connection are all right. Everybody's intact, healthy, and I believe have power.
Yes.
So, which is, I can't say the same for, I have family and relations in Maryland and Jersey that are not so lucky.
Yes.
So, would it be bad of me to say that I was a little more worried about not being able to see SmackDown because of the concert special that they did tonight? Is that insensitive of me?
Nah, I know you're good. We all know you're good. I mean, we all need an escape from reality every once in a while, and especially during this. I mean, nothing wrong with that. I mean, did they have to put it on every single NBC-owned network?
That's true. That's competing against yourself.
Yeah.
Well, couldn't be any, I'm sure it was a really good show. And I'm going to have to make this joke. Just give me a second to pull this up. Because, and I'll make this relevant. Just real quick, just a quick footnote that they've been bragging about this. The in a couple of weeks, Raw will be in Columbus, Ohio, and we are getting our king back. And since they didn't bother showing Lawler on TV when he showed up in Memphis a couple of weeks ago, which disappoints me. I hope they do something grand that'll be actually on camera.
They will.
Oh, they better.
When he walks out, it will be we're talking a Hogan pop.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking Hogan on July 4th, 2002 on SmackDown pop.
Yeah.
There's a story that I've always heard because it was him and Edge. And he walks out on the 4th of July. They play Real American. The story I've always heard is that they had to redub Lillian Garcia's introductions because it was so loud it literally drowned it out.
I hope that's true.
I would believe that. But that's 2 weeks down because they had to move it to 2 weeks down because on the day before voting day, this coming Monday, there's supposed to be a big to-do in Columbus with Barack Obama, Bruce Springsteen, and Jay-Z. They're all going to be on the stage at the same time. Bruce on guitar, Jay-Z on the microphone, and Obama spinning.
Huh?
Oh, sorry, wrong show.
Do I want to get that joke?
Just think about it for a little bit, Brian, and you will get it.
Ah, yes. Oh, I see what you did there.
Hi. Oh, hi. How you doing?
Is that code?
Oh, no, I think I'm pretty darn accurate. As I hear a shout from down the hall at Red State, Blue State, that's gimmick infringement! Deal. So, let's see, what else did I want to blather about tonight?
Oh,
so
I was wondering if we could kind of talk about the tragedy that we had this week.
Oh, absolutely. That I can definitely go to. We did have some sad news earlier this week. Actually, this came in on Thursday and was actually announced on WWE.com for the passing of one of the Armstrong family, Brad. So one of the sons of Bullet Bob Armstrong, had worked for all of the big three through the 90s. Unfortunately, the only time I got to see him was as Buzzkill in late WCW, so I really would not be one to comment on his career, and I think, Brian, you can help me out here.
That's absolutely true. Now, some of you out there may, of course, know this. The Armstrong family, there were five Armstrongs. There was Bullet Bob, the Fighting Fireman of Marietta, as he was often called, and he had four sons. He had Steve, Scott, Brad, and Brian. Brian, you know, is the Road Dog from the New Age Outlaws. Scott Armstrong, currently a referee in WWE. He was and he also was Dixie Dynamite in Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Okay.
Excuse me about that. Steve was part of the Southern Boys and the Young Pistols in NWA. Brad,
sorry. Die. Please don't die on me, Brian.
No, I'm cool. Brad was always seen as sort of the more talented of the four, though. And I wrote this on my Facebook. He never got the due he deserved as a wrestler. Mm-hmm. He was so gifted as a wrestler. He was so talented. His legacy is he was the guy they would always throw under a hood because he had such diversity in his ability. He could play any gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
He was Bad Street, the masked Bad Street, as part of the Fabulous Freebirds. He was one of the Ding Dongs.
Mm-hmm.
I hate you, Jim Herd. He was Arachnaman, their riboff of Spider-Man.
We saw his cameo in Are You Serious?
Yeah, and I loved how Brian said, "Spiders, hey, wait!" And he was, of course, Buzzkill, ribboff of his brother Brian. But Brad was a phenomenal wrestler, and he was a good hand. He was very, he was briefly in a feud with Brian Pillman for the, if you remember this, the old WCW light heavyweight title.
Okay.
Which was the precursor of the cruiserweight title, but was a phenomenal wrestler. And we do not know at this present moment the cause of death. I have not been informed of that, but he was a phenomenal wrestler and a phenomenal talent, and he will be missed by a lot of people, myself included. And it's a shame that he's remembered for being Spider-Man and not for being a damn good professional wrestler.
Now, as I said, you know, the only time I got to see him is Buzzkill. And I was, you know, I had my Armstrongs mixed up because I was thinking of Berlin. And that wasn't him.
No, Berlin's already dead, isn't he?
No, you're thinking of Wall.
Oh, okay.
A Berlin, if I'm not mistaken, was Alex Wright.
Okay.
Das Wunder.
For some reason I thought he was an Armstrong. My bad. But for that, gentlemen and ladies, if we could all please rise and remove any headwear. Because if a man from a wrestling family does deserve this.
Go with God, Brad. Go with God.
I hate the fact that I have to play this. I have to play that sound every couple of weeks.
You're not the only one, my friend. You're not the only one.
So, let's see. Now I'm going to go to a couple of things that are on their deathbeds. Figuratively. One of them is the WWE Network.
Oh.
The fact that they are actually going to try to do subscription service a la HBO.
Yeah, I don't see that doing well.
No, and we've discussed this before. It's one of those things that I'm not going to go out of my way to spend an extra $10 to $15 a month unless they're willing to throw in, you know, throw in some pay-per-views. If they actually want to migrate their pay-per-views off of in-demand and go into, you know, go onto this channel, I'd think about it.
The problem with that, though, and I don't mean to cut you off, but the problem with that is it would eat into the pay-per-view revenue.
Actually, it'd be the other way around, because then WWE would be in control of it. See, part of the reason of the for the pay-per-view price hikes is that the that in-demand is taking larger and larger cuts from the from that revenue.
Oh, really?
If WWE was in complete control of it, then they get all the money, which means they could bring the prices down. But I still think they'll charge $40, $50, $60 for Big Four, especially Mania. But if they could get away with taking the other 8 pay-per-views through the year and throw them on the network, I think I would pay $10 to $15 a month to go ahead and have that, because, you know, for essentially the price of a couple of Big Four pay-per-views, I'm getting the rest of the year right there. But I don't think my concern is that, you know, unless you are a diehard fan, there's really no other reason to get this network. I mean, Trista, if you had the money to spare, would you get this network? Trista? Hello? You.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was just thinking, like, this sounds like something that'd be, like, a really cool idea during the Attitude Era. And then you'd probably, like, you know, beg your parents to get it for you. Then after, like, the first month, it just kind of loses, like, its coolness. And then you forget you have it. Mm-hmm. And then your parents don't subscribe to it again. And then you don't really notice it because you stopped watching it after the first month. It just doesn't sound like a good idea.
And, you know, I just, you know, I'm somebody who's, you know, fairly, I admit it, I'm really cheap when it comes to my TV service, because the only time my TV is on is for wrestling and Mythbusters. And soon enough, Mythbusters with the assistance of Alton Brown. Anyway.
You know, I saw that picture of them in that top down Cadillac. I thought all we need is Neil deGrasse Tyson to create a orgy of nerddom.
Yes. That would be a weapons grade nerdgasm. I think they're doing that on purpose. They don't want him, if they, you know, it's not racism, it's, you know, it's for the safety of the universe. You can't have that many nerds in one place.
No. You would initiate cold fusion.
It'd be fun to watch for the brief second before everything else gets split to atoms. But seriously, the WWE needs to look at other ways to get their product out there. A suggestion that I'd seen, you know, coming out of the fan boards was actually offering a Netflix style service where you pay $7 or $8 a month and you can dig through the content and pick out what you want.
Now that I would pay money for.
Yeah.
I would too, but I'd have one caveat. If I have access to all this stuff, it better be uncensored.
I think I know what you mean, and yeah.
I'm not just talking him.
Like the logos and
I'm talking logos. I'm talking music. I mean, there's a limit on the music. I know there's some limits on the music, but I don't want to see commentary edited. I don't want to see wrestlers missing, ignored, or footage destroyed. Michael Cole. You know, I don't want to. You know, granted, I'm not going to get, you know, live air footage of pay-per-views. I know I'm not going to get that. I'm fine with that.
Now, from what I'm hearing, the agreement they have with the World Wildlife Fund is going to kick in, I want to say at the beginning of 2013, where they won't have to blur the WWF scratch logo anymore.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, Triple H finally. See, I think once Triple H came in, his cool, because he's a lot cooler. He said, okay, how much you guys want?
Yeah, essentially, what would it take? Because I'm sure enough people have bitched and moaned and complained, and have voted with their wallets by refraining from purchasing because of all this editing. They had to get that fixed. Sorry, Brian.
Yeah. No. Now the funny part was that for a long time in England, they didn't have to do that because they had to deal with Silvervision, who distributed their pay-per-views and their DVDs in England, and they didn't have to edit.
Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of people went looking for the Silvervision stuff.
Yeah. Now you have to get a specialized DVD player to play them in America, but you know, how much is that worth to you?
It just depends. It depends on what you're looking for. But like I said, I would want, you know, unedited, uncensored access when it came to Raws, SmackDowns, Heat, Velocity, Confidential, Jacked, Metal, and pay-per-views.
I would want Smoky Mountain Wrestling, but that's just me.
Do they have the library?
Oh yeah, Cornette sold it to them.
Okay.
And he bitches and moans about it every day, but dude, you took the money.
That's just Cornette, though.
Yeah, Corny's never not always happy.
Yeah, I. Do you guys read The Onion?
Yep,
periodically.
I had this idea for a story where the gist of it as a joke would be Jim Cornette spends 4 hours in traffic court blaming a speeding ticket on Vince Russo.
If you write that up, I want to help you edit it.
I will. Just get it out of my system.
Go ahead, Forth.
I was going to say, would you include his infamous quote about what he said about Russo?
Yeah, that if he could find a way to kill him and get away with it, he would have already done it.
Yes.
And so the article ends with him being hauled off in handcuffs, still screaming and swearing and demanding his tennis racket.
No, the end of it is that the judge says you got to pay the $50, and said sources said Cornette walked away muttering loud. So Cornette walked away muttering obscenities to himself.
One of which was probably "fuck this government." Thank you very much. I'll be here all week.
tip the veal. Try the waitress.
Thank you very much. Now, I hate to bring the mood down, but...
Speaking of Jim Cornette...
Well, actually, I wasn't going to be talking about Ring of Honor. I am going to be talking about another lower-tier organization.
That Cornette used to work for.
That's true. As we all know, the NWA umbrella, as it were, is down along the number four, number five national organizations when it comes to wrestling. You have WWE, you have TNA, you have Ring of Honor, you have Combat Zone, you have PWG, you have Chikara, you have all these other ones. The NWA and its long storied history is something that old school fans like Brian follow, enjoy, and respect. We've just got this little problem of Mr. Bruce Tharp, who lawyered his way in and is pissing all over it.
See, he's the main reason why a couple of their big territories are not renewing their lease.
Bingo. Why NWA Hollywood, NWA Anarchy, and at least 10 to 12 other affiliates said bye-bye. Well, then came this best of seven thing that had been going on before Tharp took over. And I'm going to read to you a eyewitness account of this final match in the best of seven series. That was for the NWA title between Adam Pearce and Colt Cabana. Part of the stipulation of this match of seven is that if Colt won, Pierce was done with the NWA. I don't know if Colt had anything on the line. But Colton Pierce had a great match, which capped off a great card all around and was worth watching if you get the opportunity. Mind you, this match was held in Berwick, Victoria, Australia. Whereabouts of Shane Beamon were unknown at the time. Let's see. The match was brutal and bloody and had everyone on the edge of their seats. The finish was Colt and Pierce climbing the cage. Colt hip-tossed Pierce to the mat, then climbed to the top and hit a superfly splash from the top of the cage, locking in the Billy Goat's curse, forcing Pierce to tap. The crowd celebrated. Pierce was handed back his NWA title before grabbing the microphone. Pierce thanked the fans, thanked Cabana, talked about how this final match was unsanctioned before they came to Australia, didn't feel that was right, and was willing to and handed the belt over to Cabana.
But wait, it's better.
Oh yeah. Colt takes the microphone and talks about the pride and the prestige of the NWA heavyweight title and lists a few names that have held the title in the past. If he were to hold the title, he would represent the future of pro wrestling. But the NWA and their title represent the past, and the board and members who are too stupid to realize that Colt is the future, then there's too stupid to realize that he doesn't want to be their champion. He accepts that he won the match and he won the series, but he doesn't want the belt and he hands it back to Pierce. Pierce looks at Colt and says, "You don't want the belt? I don't want it either." The fact that the match was unsanctioned, they had robbed Colt, they robbed fans, and they robbed the NWA of a good champion, to which the two of them do a Shane Douglas and drop the belt, leaving it in the middle of the ring and leaving the cage. In fact, before Colt left, he took a look at the belt and kicked some dirt on it. Literally. Not figuratively, literally, burying the NWA title and the company with it. Nice job breaking it, Tharp.
Nice job breaking it, hero.
No, in this case, it's nice job breaking it, villain. I don't see Bruce Tharp as a hero. Please go ahead.
I was going to say, for some reason, when I heard about the shoot, I just thought to myself, Cabana had the perfect opportunity to kind of have a reciprocation of, "Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing?"
Yeah, I'm surprised that did not come up. That he could have, you know, said, you know, there are better places to do this. Anybody know this guy named CM Punk? The roof would have blown off. But there was talk that the title wasn't going to change hands and they were actually going to do like an eighth sudden death match back here in the States. But they had a packed house in Australia.
Yeah.
The title change should have happened down there in front of hundreds, perhaps 1,000. I'm not sure of the actual attendance, but I know they had a packed house. Instead of it being dropped at a random show here in the States, seen by 75 people who are still debating something that happened in 1982.
So okay, I must have missed that one.
Oh well, no, I'm generalizing a little bit here.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying that most, you know, the NWA doesn't have the punch here that it seems to have overseas, and most American wrestling organizations seem to come across this way. They have better audiences when they're in Europe or Japan or Australia. And we're going to see that with WWE here over the next week or so while they're touring UK and Europe. It was just the fact that this is a big piece of bad business and just another dent or another shovel full of dirt to be put on the prestigious NWA name. And Brian, I know that hurts.
It does. We have an NWA affiliate up in East Tennessee, NWA Smoky Mountain. Mm-hmm. And who's run by Tony the Dragon Givens behind one of the great blogs, You Are Not Getting Booked.
I've seen this.
And I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't renew his lease, because they have really built themselves around the NWA name. They draw pretty good houses up in, you know, Johnson City and Kingsport, Tennessee, and other places like that. I mean, the NWA, and it's this guy Tharp. He's trying to act like Vince McMahon, like he's the cock of the walk, and ultimately, whatever prestige NWA title has, it is gone. And it's going to take a long time if it ever comes back. I wouldn't be surprised if the NWA is dissolved in 5 years if this keeps up.
I'm thinking it might even go faster than that. What do you think, Forth?
I'm hoping it doesn't keep up, because I'd hate to think that Vince McMahon would have the actual NWA heavyweight belt around his waist like he did with the WCW belt.
And like he did with the USWA title back in 1995.
Oh, man.
And decided to do with the ECW title in 2007.
Well, you know, they are buying up a whole lot of wrestling relics for that Hall of Fame they're thinking of building in Orlando. And I know they bought the they bought Ric Flair's NWA championship that was part of that big lawsuit with High Spot. So that's part of their collection.
Hmm. So I think, you know, at this point, the buzzards are circling when it comes to the NWA. You know what's really sad is that if this does collapse, Tharp's going to be the one sitting on the library. So all the money he spent to lawyer his way in, he's going to make it on the way out. I don't like that.
The thing is that Vince McMahon owns all of the WCW and the, you know, Jim Crockett Promotions. So they don't really own a lot of footage, as far as I know.
Okay. But I'm just saying...
They own the footage, like, after WCW broke away from them.
Okay.
So I think they own stuff from, like, you know, like, the early 2000s to now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know... It always made me feel bad that when Ring of Honor would promote shows with the NWA, you know, back when Adam Pearce was the champion, they'd make the NWA title be like the semi-main match. I'm like, that belt doesn't deserve that. But then again, I'm old school. What would I know?
Trista, I don't know if you even look at NWA or know much about it.
I know nothing about it. I'm best off just not being in this conversation, honestly.
No, I don't mean to leave you out of it. I just
but like my knowledge of it is nothing. So I'm just gonna sit back here and listen to you guys discuss it, because what you guys are saying is my knowledge. So,
And I'm only a step ahead because I have a source who, you know, helped me piece together whatever was not on WrestleChat.net. Regarding the whole Bruce Tharp lawyering up and taking over. It's just, you know, it's just one of these things. This is another example of a poor promoter, you know, a guy who is a mark for himself and thinks that he, you know, you said it right, Brian. He's trying to be Vince McMahon. Unfortunately, he did it way wrong.
Yeah.
He did it way wrong. There were probably ways to do this that he probably could have gotten some cooperation, and they could have actually started pulling that entire umbrella up. Unfortunately, he is costing himself more than it cost him to get in. I'm just worried that, like I said, you know, when it does fold, Vince is going to say, "Hey, how much for the DVDs?"
They could get some of Daniel Bryan's matches in the NWA.
That's what I mean. There's stuff to get out of them, get all of that. So, hello,
ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Now, what do you got?
We have just received a message from the anonymous NAWC general manager on my Commodore Amiga 2500.
Nice. I might have actually worked on one of these. Let's see what he's got here. Let's see. No more, the GM starts with, we can no longer pick on John Cena running around in pink. It is now November. And he's back in green. Well, I can make jokes about that. Since you guys are talking money, did you know that the WWE's third quarter financials are out? Ooh. That's something we'll definitely need to talk about. And, of course, part of it is just the fact that they've made some money on their DVD division with Best in the World and with WWE 13. Which I think I'm just getting a strong hint from the GM that we might have to appease a few sponsors of our own. So,
time to
folks,
sell some soap.
Yep, it is time to sell some soap. So, folks, the restrooms and snack bar are open. Go ahead and grab yourself a treat, and Ryan, get yourself something to drink to help you throw it out. We'll be back in a couple minutes with more news.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection on the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Argiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, and to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/OperationRestoreOurShore.
Hi, I'm Chris Clark, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in!
Yeah, like that joke hasn't been done 50 million times already.
Welcome back to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Brian Henniger. With fourth, Trista has unfortunately needed to step away, so we have brought in our legal and financial correspondent, Jason Block.
Good evening, good evening. Greetings from Storm Central. I am blessed more than most, and the pictures of the devastation, especially in Staten Island and the Jersey Shore, just, it hurts my heart. It really does. So,
as somebody who's got family from Jersey, hearing the stories of how much damage has been done up at the beaches there, that's washed away, you know, washed away summers.
Yeah.
Washed away a lot of summer memories. Just doing you the favor, Ma. So. But unfortunately, it seems that the lights were on in Stanford as the third quarter financials were discussed. And Jason, I didn't know if you had those in front of you. I have them if you don't.
I do not, but go right ahead. That's all. It's all good.
Okay. Surprisingly, there is good news in WWE land. Revenue is down a little bit. Revenues totaled $104.2 million as compared to $108.5 million in the prior year's quarter. Operating income was only $5 million as compared to almost $16 million in the prior year quarter. Net income, $3.5 million, 5 cents a share, compared to $10.5 million or 14 cents a share. Excluding items that impacted comparability year over year, blah, blah, blah. The decline in earnings on both an as-reported and adjusted basis were driven by $6.5 million in incremental expenses from the return to a more normalized level of management and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I'm not going to bore you guys with the bullshit. They, you know, a lot of the numbers are down, but they did have some promise in the fact that two of their three pay-per-views for that quarter actually gained viewers. Which I've got right here. The pay-per-views for that quarter would be Money in the Bank, SummerSlam, and Night of Champions.
Nice. How much more did SummerSlam do, if I may ask?
SummerSlam did almost 60,000 more buys. They closed in on 360, up from 296 in 2011. Night of Champions was teasing at the 200,000 mark at 189, up from 161. Money in the Bank was pretty much neck and neck, 188 as opposed to 195 from the previous year. That's promising. That means they're doing something right. But again, it's another one of those of Lesnar, of dear Brock Lesnar, sitting off on the sideline saying, "See, I still draw. You can pay me more money now."
Pretty much. Well, I mean, put it to you this way. They won SummerSlam, if I remember correctly, the main event was Lesnar Triple H, correct?
Yes. This was essentially what was to be played as Triple H's, it felt like his last match.
By the way, last
match.
Go ahead.
No, that was just it. It probably was his last match.
I could be. But what was your question, Jason?
I'm just noticing, you know, the two main event matches where Lesnar main evented at Extreme Rules and SummerSlam. Lesnar was the main event guy, right?
Yes.
Did ratings go up?
Yes.
Just saying. Just checking.
Oh, no. Trust me. There's the ratings went up, the buys went up, and my bank account went up. So, all's good on this side of the world. But the fact that WWE has revenue issues because they're pouring so much money in the pit that is the WWE network. Plus some of the investing that they've done this year, such as Tout, and a generous donation. If Hi Muckamuck wants to drop by real quick, the fact that some of their revenue was in the form of a check of $1 million to be donated to breast cancer research. I believe that money was proceeds that had come from the sales of all of John Cena's pink gear in October.
Yes, and they did a presentation on Raw on Monday, and as somebody who over all the crap that WWE gets, and they get a lot of it, this is just, it's awesome. It's very cool.
No, I'm, you know, I'm.
And
I'm
as
not
the brother of a cancer survivor, it's pretty awesome too.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, Muckamuck, did you have, you wanted to put 2 cents in on this? And Carl's dead. We'll check back with him. But yeah, it's, you know, it's awesome that they were able to put the money down for this. I'm just, you know, I'm just glad that, you know, that charities are willing to accept WWE as somebody that they can safely partner with. Make-A-Wish has been doing that for almost 3 decades, I think.
Exactly.
And Cena continues to, you know, break records in the number of wishes granted. So take that, Michael Jordan. Anyway,
he just did 300 a few weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Something to that effect. I mean, and still going strong. You know, even if he's, you know, if he's a little beat up and he hasn't been doing a whole lot of work, you notice that, you know, he didn't do much in ring because of this stupid, stupid scandal.
Oh, yes.
Did you mention it's stupid?
If I could do it in Randy Orton's voice, I would. But I don't think I can make my voice that monotone.
Stupid, stupid,
stupid. Stupid! You're so stupid!
Exactly. It's just, you know, I'm sorry. I was more interested in the food fight between Orton and Del Rio on SmackDown than I am about this AJ thing.
I was intrigued by Ricardo's selling of Orton throwing quote-unquote hot coffee on him.
And then selling further for the quote-unquote hot chili that was poured on top of him. That was brilliant. Or maybe he was just whining because it was his only tux. You know how hard it is to get chili stains out of a tuxedo? Anyway, So, no, trust me, you know, Cena's just getting the road wear, and he's not getting a lot of ring time, so he's kind of resting up. Unfortunately, we're going to get tortured with more of this crap on Monday, and I hope the London crowd craps all over it.
Although Monday we are going to get a continuation of the Maddox storyline, which is really good.
This I've enjoyed following because they're using it to deliberately have you watch everything. Because he came up missing for Raw. They said they were having trouble locating him. They supposedly had located him on or during main event. But, you know, they mentioned the suspension and then, you know, things will pick up again on Monday. This has me curious. I'm really looking forward to see where they're going with Maddox. Getting a good look at him. He does have a good look. I'm interested to see what he's going to look like out of stripes.
Did you also notice they did a very interesting profile of Maddox on WWE.com this week?
I glanced over it. They essentially have built, if I read it correctly, they built a really nice backstory.
Yes. Yep.
To give this context and motive. That's some pretty darn deep writing for WWE. Seriously.
It's Heyman. Heyman's been doing a lot of writing lately. Ah.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. And the carpal tunnel's worth it if it makes the product more fun.
Yes. In fact, he's written a whole lot of something I'll be covering in just a few moments.
Yes, we will be. I think we'll just go ahead and segue. Because we have video game fans here. I'm guessing everybody here at least plays a video game of some sort.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that Pong is amazing, isn't it?
I heard you're a fan of Fix-It Felix there, Nikki.
Yes, I'm trying to get a downloadable version for my desktop because I'm really intrigued with the dynamic. I never caught it in my arcades growing up, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Even though I was proficient at Q-Bert and Burger Time and the original Street Fighter. Yes.
And then Street Fighter 2 and its 9 million variants.
I'll have you know, I was the first person in Orlando to face and get killed by Akuma.
No kidding!
Hi. Hadouken!
I'll tell the story. One of my first jobs, I worked at a mom-and-pop video game store. And this is in Orlando, just outside of tourist hell. Better known to the rest of the world as International Drive. In that area, there was a McDonald's that actually was big enough to have an arcade in it. Word on the wind was that they were the first ones to get the Super Turbo, I believe, is the variant that had Akuma in it.
Yes.
Okay. I was notified that afternoon. I called my roommate at the time, and I said, I don't care if you have to hail a taxi. You're going to meet me at the store. And once we're closed, we're going to this McDonald's. We went over there, and there were about five or six of us who were rotating in and out, and everybody was taking turns, not interrupting games, because we wanted to get to the end, because we'd heard the rumors. First time I get up there, three battles I'm out. Second rotation, I get all the way to Spain. Third rotation, I actually get to Bison. Yet when the screen came up, there was no music. And I had a split second to notice that the little avatar placard thing that they put right next to your health bar, Bison's was blank. Something flashes by me, the screen goes white, I think somebody is kicking my ass, and I can't do a damn thing about it. Because the screen's white, and all I hear is... comes back up, Bison's out cold. Akuma.
Ooh.
To this point, I was thankful that I was wearing dark pants.
Okay.
I proceeded to get my ass killed.
You got your ass handed to you, served up on a silver platter.
Yes. And thankfully, I had a polite enough arcade crowd that they allowed me to continue, and I was allowed to face Akuma a couple more times. I did beat him eventually. It put a dent in my wallet, but I beat him.
There you go.
So, with that out of the way, we come to the present day of gaming and the much anticipated, much pre-ordered WWE 13 has hit shelves, and our Pixel Nation representative, Mr. Brian Henniger, is going to rant and rave and talk about it. I believe it sounded like you've been a little bit into it.
Yes, I actually recently, like a few hours ago, beat the Attitude Era game mode.
Man, you were quick.
So you've gotten through all six chapters?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Now let's see you do it on medium. Oh, wait.
Okay.
In my defense, I don't think they changed the difficulty setting on Attitude Era.
I'm sorry. I'm being facetious.
No, I got it though.
So, okay, Brian, please give us some info in detail.
Okay, I've not had as much time to play it as I would like because my shoot job requires my full undivided attention. But what I've gotten to play, I've played it for a couple hours over the past few days, and first thing I want to say, it looks amazing. Not just the graphics, which are amazing, not just some of the entrances, which they really worked on. Like Chris Jericho does have the light bright jacket.
Sweet.
They do the full entrance for Brodus Clay with the Funkadactyls, although he doesn't wear the tracksuit. You just see he's in his trunks.
It's because he could never do the tearaways quite right.
Yeah, exactly. They did. Let's see. We got to see. The moves look really good, mm-hmm. and it's. I've been playing the Attitude Era. I'm still in the first chapter because there are primary objectives and secondary objectives. Now, if you beat the primary objectives, you beat the match and you move on to the next part of the story. If you beat all the secondary objectives, you'll unlock stuff like new wrestlers and new arenas and new everything. Mm-hmm. Well, I gotta get my mic, so hold up. Okay, how's that?
Better.
Thank you. Well, now, but what amazes me is some of the details that they got right. For instance, when you're wrestling in the Attitude Era arenas, if you're looking around and you see the THQ logos, they actually use a mid-90s era THQ logo.
Nice.
Which I just happened to notice.
Mm-hmm.
The commentary is actually, it's hit or miss. There's a lot of situations where they're using... where they're using WWE actual commentary from the match itself to kind of add realism. And that sounds really animated. Then you get to the recorded stuff with JR and King. It sounds a little, you know, a little scripted. The storyline is the idea of the Attitude Era is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They really do a great job in... kind of telling the story of everything, because the first one is the rise of DX.
Okay.
And as you're progressing through, you're actually they'll show you the ratings of both Nitro and Raw during the Monday Night Wars as you're progressing through. So you kind of see how the company was improving and how it was getting bigger and bigger and everything. There are a couple of nitpicks that I have. The biggest nitpick I have with it is the fact that for all the stuff they get right, there's some stuff they get wrong. There are wrestlers who are missing who should be missing. Ryback being one of them. He will be DLC, but it just seems kind of weird that a guy that you built your pay-per-view around just a few days before this game came out isn't in the game itself.
Now, in WWE's defense, this was kind of a last-minute thing because they were really banking on Cena, and that's why Cena and most of the fan base is getting punished with the AJ scandal storyline.
Agreed. But I think the game is amazing, and I'll be playing it a lot this weekend. I'll give you like more of an in-depth information privately, but from what I've been able to see, what I've been able to play, it is a lot of fun. And the objectives in each match is based on how the match really went in real life.
Okay.
So it's if you have not already bought it, buy it. If you can't afford to buy it, rent it on Gamefly. It is phenomenally well done.
All right. Fourth, I'm sure you're...
Pixel Nation special report.
Thank you. Fourth, I'd like to hear your thoughts on it since you've had some time with it.
I definitely liked how the looks in the Attitude Era game mode change over time. Like, when you start off early on, it has the New Generation logo on everything, on the turnbuckles and on the banners. And then as you progress through and through, then you get the Scratch logo, and then you get more of the Attitude atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite things is, as he said, that many of the secondary objectives really make you kind of feel like you're in the match. Like, I hate to spoil it, but one of the Michaels Bret Hart matches, it makes you feel like it happened.
Montreal, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've actually seen the cutscene, and you see the camera walking through the locker room area, and out of the corner of your ear, you see Hunter going, "Let's just do this." You look over and you see Sean, Hunter, and Vince in the locker room looking around and hear Hunter go, "If he won't do business, we'll do business for him." And the door slams shut.
Nice.
Wow. Now I have a question for both of you. The Attitude Era and I believe the Universe Mode was written by the title creative rabbi Paul Heyman. Could you tell any of the touches?
I didn't really get too far into Universe Mode at all, so I haven't really noticed just yet. But I don't know. I will have to definitely look to see if I notice anything.
I could notice because you could definitely tell that a lot of the information, like for the objectives, it was very precise. And you and I know Paul is a stickler for details.
Absolutely.
And some of the scripting is done very well. I mean, you could tell that Paul had his hands all over this game. And, you know, they couldn't have picked anyone to help tell that story better than Paul. So if he is the creative rabbi, I say L'chaim.
Do you agree with that assessment, Mr. Block?
Well, unfortunately, due to Sandy, I have not gotten my copy yet. Unfortunately, of course, the mail and package delivery has been very spotty due to a lot of things. I also do know that, and Brian, you might be interested in this, WWE 14 production starts now, actually.
Oh, cool. So THQ is going to work on it.
Yes. They're going to start to do the motion capture very soon.
Awesome.
And like I said, this is THQ's one of only hit franchises, and you know what? They pretty much have been doing, what, about an 8-month campaign?
Pretty yes. much.
You know, to do this. They need to continue to do this marketing campaign because the marketing campaign for this has been nothing short of brilliant for this.
Oh, yeah. Everything from just for the cover reveal segment, one of the few bright spots of the John Laurinaitis era.
Right.
I would be bigger than Pac-Man.
I still have my doctored pick of the Atari 5200 edition of WWE 13.
Now, did anybody see on Monday night that Punk came out in his WWE 13 hoodie?
I want that hoodie.
I want that hoodie myself. It says "Live the Revolution" on the sleeves.
That's awesome.
I could have used that for my Halloween costume.
But
would you believe they didn't think that I was in costume?
What were you wearing?
I had wore my cap, of course, a t-shirt, authentic Zubas, authentic fanny pack. Authentic, super cheap sneakers.
And as I wrote on your Facebook, commendable costume. Thou even got the fanny pack right.
You can't see the... Go ahead.
I was just about to say, where's the Ribera jacket?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, mine was at the cleaners.
Ah, that's why. See, that's...
She's getting her name put on it.
Say what?
I said you were getting your name put on it.
Yes. So it was just a matter. I realized that I was missing that one part, but I was disqualified because they didn't feel it was a costume. They told me it was my civilian clothes, as it were.
Boo.
They were authentic Zubas.
Even in the tiger stripes, which I was really impressed with.
Granted, they weren't the two-color zebra stripes, which is classic Zubas.
Which you're not going to believe this, I own.
No, I have a couple of older pair, but I have an older pair that weren't tiger stripes. They were these paint splatter. And I know I would have won something because I could have worn some that were Minnesota. I should have worn those, and not just the plain black and white. Oh, I know better. I do know better than this, but that's all right.
Oh, and just by the way, based on the game, they are releasing DLC packs throughout the next few months.
Yeah, right. And one of those packs will have Ryback. One of the pack names that I just love, it's going to contain both Antonio Cesaro and Damian Sandow. And the name of the pack is You're Welcome in Five Languages.
Perfect. I like that. If I had a working console that I could play the game on, I would probably get it, even though I would probably just let the computer do it, because I love watching the wrestling video games, but unfortunately my WrestleFu when it comes to wrestling video games is very poor. I'm good at straight up 2D fighting games. I'm strong with RPGs. I am decent with platformers. I hate first person shooters. And I can't play a wrestling game to save my life. But I feel I'm keeping you and forth from your video gaming duties.
Yes.
Well, in that case, but, let's go.
But it's okay.
Okay. But before we do call it a night, Mr. Block, do you have anything to promote?
Yes, of course. We just finished the second half of the election preview edition of Red State Blue State. We are going to be live Tuesday night on the Skype at around 9-10 o'clock, watching the election results, and either drowning my sorrows or popping champagne, depending on what party you are and depending on who you're looking for. But in all seriousness, and of course, all the podcasts. Of course, BS Big Show, and of course, FFL Live occasionally. The other shows are on hiatus right now. But again, my personal promo is to actually go and vote Tuesday. No matter who you want in the White House or your local elections, please do it. It's the most important power that you have. One vote does make a difference, especially in certain elections. Please go do it. It's one of the most important freedoms that I take incredibly seriously. So please go do that.
Fourth, do you have something to promote?
Just Typo Show on Tuesday nights and BRM Show, which actually we didn't do on this week because of current circumstances.
And it's under... It's understandable. Brian, do you have something to promote?
Yes, I promote Theraflu warming action cough medicine. I'm about to take me a dose of. I hope it works.
Take a nice long pull and get comfortable.
Yes. So, like my friend Jason Truett always said, the 13th step is NyQuil.
Oh boy.
I have unusual friends.
We could see that.
Yeah.
After all, three of them are right here. Oh, wait, four. Hey, muck-a-muck.
Oh, hi. Yeah.
Good morning, hi, muck-a-muck. Do you have anything to promote before we call it a night?
Yes, do your duty and donate to the Red Cross. Thank you.
And there are many ways to do so.
Yeah, I did it through iTunes.
Followers of Zack Ryder can go check his archives. He gives an option through your phone.
Right, and I just saw it on the ESPN game. I'll give you a couple of ways myself. RedCross.org. Which is the way to do that. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS if that would be 1-800-733-2767. And then you could also donate by texting the word Red Cross to 90999. That will make it $10. And if you want to donate clothes or diapers or water or anything, go to salvationarmy.com and you'll find a local thrift store or a way to do that.
Well, I'll do my part if I can get myself to a proper Red Cross location. I have something I can donate.
I guess you do that a lot, don't you?
I plan to gig for a good cause. I'm a universal donor.
Amen to that. Thank you.
So, it might even be a double red if I can get to the right location. So, I don't have anything else to promote that other than I am a universal donor, which means anyone can have my blood, even the vampires. Kevin Thorne needs to sit down. Okay. So with that, we have completed another episode of the North American Wrestling Connection. We are just 2 weeks away from episode 250. And as I mentioned last week, I have confirmed not one, not two, but three special guests who will be dropping by to help us celebrate. And I would hope that our listeners will be around as well to find out just who I scared up. So, for High Muckamuck Carl Chenier, for Jason Block, for Forth, for our slightly under the weather Mr. Brian Henniger, for our peacefully asleep Trista Timpson, my name is Nikki Heyman. I hope you've enjoyed what you've heard tonight. Please come back. Have a good one.
If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, please submit them to clw3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLWA3 Network. Tune in!